morning. Welcome to the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler, and we have a great show for you today because we are talking with the Kinnexu Land Trust. And we have in the shop with us Katie Koch. She's the executive director. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Chris.
That's kind of a floppy microphone you're dealing with there. You can screw it down on the side. That helps a little bit. And Reagan Plum, she is the conservation director.
Hey, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. And you guys just moved into a new location. And of course, you have a ton of other stuff going on. And we're going to be talking all about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at the stuff we like to go through off the top here. And that is the weather. The weather is something we all have in common. And it's looking like kind of more of the same, folks. Sorry to say, we're going to see lows only to the mid-30s. The highs are going to be in the mid to higher 40s for the next several days through Sunday. We're looking for patchy fog and then partly sunny today. Kind of the same tomorrow. Slight chance of rain coming on Saturday, and rain is likely on Sunday, but it is rain and not snow. Mm. Sorry to say. And that kind of squashes a lot of plans for people around here who like winter sports. As for things going on around town, there's a pretty big production going on at the Panda Theater. It's cheaper by the dozen. It's a live theater there, and I don't know if you guys went to that.
No, not yet.
Yeah, okay. Do you know the book?
Yes.
Yes, okay. It's a classic story from the 30s or something, or 40s maybe, about a family that had 12 kids, and it's showing with a local production at the Panda on Friday, and then Saturday, and I think there are two show times on Saturday. But anyways, check that out at thepanada.org to get tickets to that. Out at Western Pleasure, there's the annual snowshoe roundup is happening on Saturday. Haven't ever been to that, but I believe it entails some racing with snowshoes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Have you been?
I have been once, but it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Super fun, though.
Did you race?
I was supporting at that race.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be pretty good on the snowshoes, I think, to mm-hmm. make much speed there. Yeah, and as for the snow report at Schweitzer, well, they do have 1 inch of new snow in the last 48 hours. That's,
yay!
It will take 1 inch at this point. there are, I think, 50 or 51 of the 92 runs are open. So there's skiing to be had up there. And I will say they're probably above the fog. So it's probably going to be a nice sunny day up there. And one more thing of note, the Follies are coming back. The Angels over Sandpoint, it's a big fundraiser for them. They didn't have the Follies last year, but they're coming back on March 6th and March 7th. The thing of note is that the tickets are for sale now, and you should probably get your tickets early because the Follies almost always sell out. We'll say it's not for the easily offended because they gore just about everybody's ox in that and those skits that they have. And it's actually for 21 and over, I believe. So check that out. That's, again, going to be at the Panada. You can get your tickets at panada.org for that. And, of course, there's a lot more going on around town. You can see our calendars at krfy.org and click on the Community Calendars tab. You can get details on the ones I just mentioned and like 25 more things that are happening around town through the weekend. And with that, let's get into today's conversation. Again, we have with us Katie Cox. She's the executive director of the Kinnexu Land Trust, and Reagan Plum, who is the conservation director. Thank you both for being here. And let's start off with kind of the biggest news, I think, is that you now have new offices.
We have new offices.
What are these new offices?
Yes, so we've been in our office, which has been on Michigan Street, just I guess that would be east of the high school, at the back of a business park, which has been lovely.
Kind of buried back there.
Buried back there a little bit, yeah. Right off the trail. But back in the corner there. So we've been there for 15 years and it's been a great space. But with the purchase this fall of Astor Garden Center, we have been working to, most people actually don't know this because when they go, if they went to Astor, they were usually in the nursery portion and they didn't actually realize that there's a nice large building on the back of the property of Astor. So we, of course, bought that as well. And we've been working since October to remodel it. It was an old logging truck machine shop. And Paul, who was one of the owners of Astor Garden Center, he was using it in as a workspace as he started to redo the gardens and then the outer part of that building. So we really got a shell. There was one small office that was completed in the back corner, but we really got a shell. So we've been working since October to make that into something that feels like the Kinnexu Land Trust offices. And I think we have achieved it. It's an amazing little space with wood from Pine Street Woods and milled at our lumber mill. So it feels a bit, I think, and I'll ask Reagan too, it feels a little bit like our little cabin in the woods, mm-hmm. but right downtown. So
yeah, one of our friends who came by our open house last week put it well. They said, you know, your last space was fine, but this feels like your home. It has the fingerprints of Kinnexu Land Trust all over it, and it just feels like you. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a great way to sum it up.
How does the interior space divide up? Do you have like several little offices?
Yeah, so it's nice flex. It's really flex space. So you walk into a nice foyer. On the right is the conference room, and we have this beautiful big glass garage door that will be able to open up in the summertime, which will be nice. And then in the back corner there is that finished office with a loft and the bathroom. On the other side, it's an open space, except there's mostly semi-closed or closed offices, one being the nursery manager's office that goes right into the greenhouse. And then we have a kitchen back there. And then we have a larger open space that we use for, we have a few staff in that open space as well. So there's nice, it's nice because like yesterday I have an office there, but then yesterday I pulled my computer, I have a laptop, so I pulled it over to the conference room and I worked on a project in the conference room. So it's really nice. You can sort of move about the space depending on what you feel like.
And how much staff do you have now?
So we have 11 staff right now.
Mm-hmm. Are they all working out of there? Because you do have a building that's on the right adjacent to the Sled Hill.
Yes, exactly. So our folk school coordinator usually is at the Sled Barn. Mm-hmm. So we have the Sled Barn too. Our education staff is typically, they'll come in the morning. Bree will come in the morning, but they're often out and about working in the schools. And we all have different schedules. It's a nice, actually, it's a really nice this way. So people work sort of the hours that they love to work. We have our Anne, who's our beloved office manager, who loves to come in at about 5:30 in the morning. And she works at early morning until 9:30. So everybody has their own little pattern. So it doesn't ever feel like there's a lot of people on top of each other. Mm-hmm. We have two coordinators, one a water projects coordinator, one a rewild coordinator. So rewild is typically out on the land. It's a little bit more space than we had in our other office. And we're all a little bit closer to each other, which is actually really nice. The other office had sort of a runway, you know, a circular hallway. So if you were on one side of the square versus the other, you might not see that person.
But you had to yell a little louder.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it feels very, very community, you know, like a community space.
So you acquired this property last fall, mm-hmm. and the really interesting thing is yet to come because you're still going to operate it as a garden center and landscaping place, right?
Yes, exactly.
But tell us the whole idea behind that.
Yeah, so this idea was generated for a few different reasons. One of those reasons being that we just were talking about, our spot that we were at was really a business park. It wasn't conducive to events or gathering the community. It wasn't conducive to the community really coming to us a lot. Parking was an issue. So first and foremost, this felt like it could be a it could turn into not only a nursery and our offices, but a community gathering space. There's a beautiful parking lot that we could use for events, the garden space we could use for events. It seemed like a natural place where we could welcome our community more. Second being that often we get reach outs from our awesome supporters saying, I would love to volunteer. And we don't just, you know, once in a while we'll have a trail project, once in a while we'll have a project on the land, but we didn't really have a great way to activate our volunteers. So again, this gives us a great way to activate volunteers, to help in the gardens, to propagate plants, to do all those things that you need to do in an active nursery. And then another, the one that really started the wheels turning for me was that, you know, Kinnickzoo Land Trust, we have a mission to be here in perpetuity, which means we want to be here forever, right? We're taking care of land forever. We have conservation easements that we say we will take care of and watch over forever. So when you make that commitment to your community, you also want to be here forever. So financial sustainability is really important. And thinking about how, and as you know, Chris, operating KRFY as a nonprofit, you are, every year, you pretty much start at zero again, and you're looking to make up your budget in order to make sure that you can continue your operations. So our budget is made up of, you know, a few different buckets. Generosity is a huge bucket of ours. So our gifts from our donors that come every year, hopefully individual donations. People see the work that we do, they value it, and they give that individual donation. We have a bucket for grants. We apply for a lot of grants in the year, and we receive typically, you know, some grants, but that's a very cyclical cycle. It just depends. You don't know going into a year how much you're going to get from grants. You hope for certain numbers, but it's not guaranteed. So this was a way. So when I was looking out, I was looking, what are other ways we can diversify this revenue? Revenue source. How can we fortify that bottom line just a little bit more? And looking at different models, you know, we can look just in town at different models. We can look at Cal, who has a thrift store. We can look at the animal shelter as those different models. Some of the nonprofit organizations, they get funding for the services that they provide. So in thinking about that, I was really looking out in our community for something that would be very missionally aligned with us in order to think about that adding revenue through a business line. And when Aster came on the market, it just, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this aligns with the work that we do. We talk about conservation on a big scale, right? So a landowner can have 200 acres and they can have a conservation easement and they can be helping with conservation. Well, how does Chris Bessler, the homeowner with a piece of grass, you know, some lawn, how do you become active in conservation work? And you can do that in your own yard. You can do that by buying native plants, by buying pollinators, thinking about how you tend to the lawn that you do have, or diversifying that lawn. And so this is our way of bringing conservation into every home. Here along the lake, and thinking about what we do in our lawn affects the land and affects the lake. And so it felt very missionally aligned, and it also, you know, hopefully will come to pass and we'll get to see that will allow us to diversify that revenue sources just a little bit more.
And for folks that don't have a clear picture where you're at, Aster Garden Center. Are you still calling it Aster Garden Center? What do
yes.
we call it now?
Aster Garden Center. Okay. It was Aster Garden. It was
and Design.
And Design.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Karen had her landscape architecture business out of it. So it's now just shortened to Aster
okay.
Garden
Aster
Center.
Garden Center. It's on Superior Street. If you were driving towards Priest River down Highway 2 there, you would take a right onto Superior just past where you would turn in going to Winter Ridge, I think, or Dubs.
Well, it's actually, you know, where the drive-through convenience store is?
Yeah.
We're right next door to the drive-through convenience
just
store.
Right next door to that. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty visible from the street. Well, okay, you got a garden center. Who's going to run that?
So our new nursery manager is Kara Johnson. Kara has been, grew up here, in Sandpoint. We are thrilled to have her. She started on Monday, and she is already in it. She's getting the greenhouse ready. She's getting, you work Monday to get all of the different, the POS system going, all the, getting her signed up for the emails. But she is just like, she is already definitely hands in the dirt. And we're so excited to have her. She comes to us from the library where she worked on the gardens there as well as the seed saving. We have an amazing partnership with the library. So we look forward to continuing that partnership, hopefully, you know, with our work with the Garden Center and supporting their garden work as well. But she comes to us with a huge base knowledge. You know, this was a very unique position. We were looking for somebody who had that, who not only had the plant knowledge, but had business knowledge and also had education knowledge, because part of this work is educating our community on the impacts of what you do on your land, and also the ability to bring some of our school programs into the nursery and help the kids learn how to propagate plants, how to take care of plants. So we have a lot of opportunities for education as well. So having somebody with that full toolbox, we thought that might be difficult to find. We couldn't be more pleased to have Kara in that role.
Will she be starting, getting some starts going?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah. Is it all native plants? You're going to do some vegetable garden stuff?
Yep. So we'll do food as well. It will look very much like Karen and Paul had it originally. We'll have a lot of perennial plants. There's a focus on a lot of perennial plants, trees, bushes, and some of those, and a lot of those being native plants, very, very appropriate for the zone here. And then as well, they always had vegetable starts as well. And they really strive to keep the cost of those starts down low, because Karen and Paul felt it was important for everybody to be able to, economically grow food. That will be the way we do it as well.
And plants for pollinators like bees, mm-hmm. and exactly. Butterflies, which are really important and struggling right now.
Yes. So we will start with sort of the same stock similarities as they had, but our goal will be with that education to be able to push up more of the pollinator plants as well as the native plants, and potentially getting into medicinal plants as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we will be watching for what grows at Astoria Garden Center. And let's turn in our remaining time here and talk about some of the stuff you have going on. One of the things that stuck out to me from the recent newsletter that you sent out is that you have a hearing for a special use permit for the Sled Hill property tomorrow, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's with the Dover Planning and Zoning. Are there any complications there?
No, this is just part of the process that Dover requires. So we'll have a public hearing tomorrow with the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's at 5:30 at the Dover City Hall. And we encourage all of our friends and users of the Sled Hill property to come out and show their support. We're really eager to obtain our special use permit so that we can start making improvements to the property. For example, for anyone who's been up there recently, the driveway and the parking lot are absolutely a muddy mess right now. It's just, it's kind of a disaster. And we have funds that we've been sitting on for close to a year to improve those amenities at the Sled Hill. We've just been waiting to get through this special use permit process with the city. So hearing on Thursday, and then that will be followed by a hearing with the city council. And then hopefully soon we'll be able to move forward with some of our improvement ideas.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of things are you asking for in the special use permit? Fix the driveway in the parking lot?
Yep, fix the driveway in the parking lot, install a vault toilet. Currently there's just an outhouse on the property. And then we want to put in a special a trail around the pond that will be a universal access trail with that provides fishing piers and benches. What am I missing?
Belfry.
The belfry. Yes, we have a beautiful cast bronze bell that was created by local artists that we're anxious to install on the property. And
the other thing is that we have a lot of old historic structures on site. So you'll see the old ski club house, you'll see a goose house, tool shed, a tree house. And we are asking, we are considering having the opportunity to turn some of those into a dry cabins, one at a time, and restore those pieces as a historical piece, but also as an opportunity for people close in or far out to be able to come and stay at the Sled Hill. Okay. So we, that is part of it as well. We also have a, where the Kinnexu Lumber Mill is, in the far off future, we would love for that to become a timber museum, an open air timber museum, in working alongside the Historical Society. We do have a spot on that special use permit for a community center. And so the way that special use permits work is that you have to put everything on there you could even imagine you would want to create in someday. Because if you don't have it on there, then you have to, end up having to go back for approval and adding things on there. So we don't have an idea, like, even in the 5-10 years for a little community center there. But Which would be a structure. Mm-hmm. But we do have it on the plan just in case that at some point makes sense for our community.
Well, you know, something I could imagine mm-hmm. is like a rope tow.
A lot of people could imagine a rope tow, Chris.
For the Sled Hill. Is that part of the special use permit?
That kind of implement, like a piece of equipment, wouldn't be really necessary to have on a special use permit. It is not on this special use permit.
Okay, because mm-hmm. folks will probably remember that there used to be a rope tow there.
Yes,
way back when it was a Sled Hill, and was actually kind of the town's first ski hill.
Yes,
before Schweitzer.
That is very true, and we have had lots of conversations with lots of people about a rope tow, but as you can imagine, there is a operational cost there.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
so first we have to make sure that we can take on the operational costs of just owning land, which is, you know, which is not inexpensive.
I mean, frankly, we haven't had very good luck with the weather either.
I know, our poor Nordic Club, but I will say, you know, our Nordic Club operates and grooms the trails up there, but I have just been blown away by one, their race team is still doing amazing despite the conditions. They're on roller skis a lot. And then they also are still running all of the school programs. And they're bringing the kids out into the woods. And they're doing adventures and hiking and games. And still making that something special for the kids to be outside at Pine Street Woods in the winter. So kudos to the Sandpoint Nordic Club.
Yeah.
I just saw Claude yesterday when I was up on the trails, the executive director of the Nordic Club. And she shared that their numbers in that school program are actually up 16% this year. I think it's 16.
Yeah.
In spite of the weather. So it's just a joy to be up there and hear the kids laughing and playing and running. Even if they're not on skis, they're still just having fun out in the woods.
And that means if it's 16%, that's like 925 kids that they're getting out in the winter up at Pine Street Woods. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. There you go. Making lemonade.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, well, and you guys have a lot of other things going on. What is at top of your list to let people know about?
While we're on the topic of Pine Street Woods, I just want to mention to any of our frequent users out there that we are hoping to do some forest management up in the woods this winter if conditions allow. Obviously, we don't want to have equipment up there when the ground is really soft. So we're hoping for another nice cold snap. But KLT is looking at doing some light logging to remove some diseased and dying trees. And then in addition to that, we're working in partnership with the Fish and Wildlife Service, Inland Forest Management, and the County Bonfire Program to implement a project that will create some fuel breaks around the parking lot and also adjacent some of our nearest landowners. So look out for those this winter. And please be aware when you're hiking up Pine Street Woods and obviously avoid any heavy equipment that's operating in the area.
Mm-hmm. Well, your historical mission has been to help landowners put their land into conservation easements or help keep their land rural. And do you have any big projects going that way?
I was just going to shove over to Reagan to have her discuss our most recent conservation easement and then one very special project that we're taking on in Priest River.
Yeah, so our most recently completed easement just wrapped up in December. It's actually two easements in one. And that included the permanent protection of over 500 acres out in the Glengarry Bay neighborhood in Sagal. And this is really a special property that's been in the same family for over 100 years, beautifully stewarded, hay meadows and forest lands, tons of wildlife habitat, visible from the county road so that the public can enjoy it as it continues to be open space in perpetuity. So it was just a joy to work with that family to permanently conserve that property. I think it's probably one of the most ecologically valuable conservation projects that KLT has brought to fruition in our years of operation. So that was a big celebratory one for us. And then right now we're working hard to preserve another century property. This one is in Priest River. And it's 320 acres. It's really just a lovely little valley just outside of Priest River, if you can imagine, with a creek flowing through it and open meadows and then forests along the kind of the valley sides on either side. And this property is still in the same family that homesteaded it in the late 1800s. So that's the century before last. And it's currently owned by the remaining descendant of that family, who doesn't have children. So there's not a next generation to pass it on to. And she would just like to make sure that this land that's been in her family and cared for so many years can continue to remain intact, continue to function as healthy working forest and wildlife habitat and working lands. So right now we're trying really hard to raise. It's going to take $150,000 to ensure the permanent protection of this property, and we're almost halfway there. So if anybody's interested in learning more about this special legacy piece in Priest River that KLT is trying hard to protect, please don't hesitate to call the office, and you can speak to either Katie or Reagan about how you can be part of that effort.
In a case like that, where a family or people don't have heirs, what will happen to the property after they pass on?
Well, that's up to the landowner. It can be sold. If there's a conservation easement on it to protect it before a sale happens, then it will remain intact. Because the new owner who purchases it will, you know, the terms of that easement will prevail.
Yeah, they buy it knowing that there is an easement.
Restrictions are on it. I mean, the property could be donated to an organization like Kiniksu Land Trust to continue to care for it, or given away to somebody else. So really the future of the property with an easement is, as flexible as it would be without the easement in terms of where it can go. It just has that those conservation restrictions on it to make sure that it continues to stay together and, mm-hmm. and minimally developed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Priest River, you had a housing project there.
We did.
Fill us in on that.
Oh my gosh. I'm so, just in the last week, I'm so elated to say we have all houses under contract. So we have families now. We have two homes that have been moved, that have been purchased. The families are there. We have four homes that are going to close beginning to the end of March. And so with
That will be under construction.
No, they're already built.
Okay.
They're going to be moving in mm-hmm. by April 1. All houses will have families in them. And this is, you know, this was such an interesting process, learning process. We've learned a lot along the way on sort of the dynamics of such a project and introducing this concept to our region. I will not say it was an easy one for everybody to grasp, but now that it's like I was joking, like the dams have broken now and I'm getting inquiries every day now that they're all under contract from other families that have finally, you know, heard about them. Sometimes it's really hard. It seems interestingly hard to get information out. But the other thing that really helped this project is two things. One, we received a commitment from Mountain West Bank to for each home up to $50,000 in down payment assistance, depending on what that family needed. So they have up to $50,000 that they could use in that down payment assistance, depending on what their financial situation was. In addition to that, ICCU, the Idaho Credit Union, they have been are underwriting mortgages at 3%. So those two things really helped bring a whole nother set of individuals to the table, because it took that $270,000 price tag, you know, in some cases down to $220,000, and then a mortgage on top of that. They're paying less than they would pay in rent. Mm-hmm. And so, and working, you know, and owning a home and working to build that equity. So we are elated to be at the point where we have all those houses now under contract. But we are also then, you know, looking at then, you know, what have we learned and what will that next project look like? And those things, what we have learned is the importance of sort of identifying what types and types of households are in need of this type of housing, housing product. And so really identifying, is it one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, and what, and some of those challenges that individuals have, if it's a credit challenge, how do we do education classes prior in order to get people ready and really to have our lineup of our list of individuals ready as we go into building the next project. So, we are so glad to have the partnership we have with Leap Housing down in Boise, as well as Bonner Community Housing Agency. It's really, the three of us have been it's been a really good working unit. We each bring certain gifts to the table, and I look forward to seeing where this, you know, where this goes into the future. But I really think that, I mean, the best part of it is thinking about those six families mm-hmm. finally with permanent home, permanent roofs over their head and walls that they get to paint.
And so the deal with this particular offering was that there were some requirements that they had to really actually be locals. So to try to tamp down potential speculators.
Yes.
So what were those requirements?
Well, so, and Chris, that was part of one of our challenges, actually, because when we started this project, we had it set because we had assumed from the cacophony of voices we had heard in the community that once we built these houses, they would come, right? And so thinking that, we had it limited to the zip codes right in and around Priest River. We had it, of course, income restricted. So you had to have a salary up to 120% AMI. And then when we first started, because each of these are three bedrooms, you had to have at least three individuals in your house. And what we realized is we had put too many restrictions on these for the demographics that are out there. So slowly throughout the last, you know, the houses became available in June. We slowly had to make some really hard decisions about releasing some of these restrictions in order to just make our pool grow larger and allow more people the opportunity, and also bring the awareness of the project to a greater number of people. So in the end, the one thing we were able to hold on to was, of course, the income restriction, which is the most important. But we did release the zip code restriction, and we released the number of people in the house. Now, you know, in hindsight, or not in hindsight, but like most of the houses, I think, are occupied by at least three people. But we did have to really start easing those restrictions in order to open it up and sell the houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, you know, a young couple that might be buying one of those houses, they might be three or four here pretty soon.
Exactly. Yeah. So, exactly.
Well, that's, is there another similar project on the horizon to help with affordable housing?
We have opportunities where people have approached us on potential pieces of land, and we're looking at each of those. We will go into this in a different way, where we figure out who are the individuals that are ready and sort of lined up for the house, and then we'll build the stock for those individuals more so this next time around. But we have potential projects, and now, you know, it's been a lot of work, and I want to give a shout out on the radio to Tyler Wagner, who's been the realtor on the project, who is working so hard for us, and really going out of his way and doing it in a charitable way. He's had a huge workload because of this, but I'm just grateful for his community spirited heart. So once we get through this one, then we'll sort of have the space and capacity to really start looking at the next project. So,
okay. Well, if you just tuned in, this is the KRFY Morning Show, and we're talking today with Katie Cox and Reagan Plum from the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. And we have to have a little bit shorter show today, so we have time to talk about maybe one or two other things if you have something that you want to make sure people know about.
Well, I think two things probably. Maybe I'll take Cedar Circle and you take Winter Carnival.
Sure.
Does that sound good? Or if you think there's something else. So we just released news about our new Cedar Circle, which is our new recurring gift gift group. And there's information about it on the front page, on our webpage. But the fun thing is now that we have a space to do events as part of a Cedar Circle. So if you give up to $10 a month to Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, so a recurring gift, so it comes to us every month, you are part of our inaugural Aster Pint Club. So every time that we have an event at Aster, you'll have your pint there and you'll get your first beverage free, be it, you know, beer, kombucha, root beer, whatever it is, it will be free. And in the month of February, we also have, if you join the Cedar Circle in the month of February, we also have a sweet treat made right here in Sandpoint, Idaho, that will be delivered to you as well.
Such a deal. So you're looking for recurring donations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, make note of that. It sounds like I'm not even sure how economic work out if you're giving away a free time.
Oh, growing in love.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. All right. And another item that you wanted to bring up?
Well, the other thing really is just mentioning our upcoming events. So if you're looking for an opportunity to connect with Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, we'd love to connect with you and some opportunities. Of course, tomorrow again is the hearing in Dover for the Sled Hill special use permit. That's at 5:30 at Dover City Hall. We also have coming up on Monday, February 16th, as part of Winter Carnival, KLT will be sponsoring Trivia Night at the Idaho Poor Authority. And that is going to be a wild trivia night in multiple senses of the word. There will be raffle tickets available. It's going to be a lot of fun, and also will be a fundraiser for Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. So come out for wild trivia as part of Winter Carnival on February 16th. We also have, especially for those over in the Sanders County, Montana portion of our service area, we have a hiking with kids event in Thompson Falls on Saturday, February 28th at 10 a.m. That event is in partnership with Mountain Mamas, and you can sign up on our website, kinnick-sioux.org. Aster Garden Center's grand opening, the date is a little bit in flux. It will probably be sometime in April, but be watching out for that. We're going to have a big party at Aster when we open the doors. And then finally, our little folk school will soon be announcing its spring lineup of classes. These are always so much fun. If you haven't taken a Kinnick-Sioux Folk School class, please consider trying one. They're really a joy and a great way to connect with members of your community that you might not know. You can sign up for weekly class blasts or KLT's monthly e-news, which is called The Dirt, on our website, kinnick-sioux.org. So just a few ways to come connect with us in the upcoming months.
So get the dirt.
Get the dirt. Yeah, that's where it's at.
I want to say thank you, Reagan and Katie, for coming in to talk with us today about all the stuff going on at Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. And we could keep going on, but I promise we'd make this one a little bit shorter today. I actually have another meeting I got to rush off to myself. So okay. Thanks again for coming in. And yeah, keep it going. And what Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust is doing is just so great.
Thanks, Chris.
And if you feel like you'd like to make a donation to something, you can do that to the Kinnexial Land Trust, or you can do it to KRFY, because we also are a nonprofit organization, and we depend on our underwriters and our donors to keep stay on the air. You can do that if you go to krfy.org and click on the donate button. And tomorrow, we're back here on the air with Jim and Jack Healy, and I don't have their topic, but they always have a good show happening. And we're going to go out with Bruce Springsteen and his newest song, Streets of Minneapolis. Mm. Thanks for listening. We'll be over to Otto's Eclectic Mix after that.
Through the winter's ice and cold, down Nicolet Avenue, a city of flame fought fire and ice 'neath an occupier's boots.